Ambition for the company. Setting up successors for success. When David Maxwell became CEO of Fannie Mae in 1981, the company was losing $1 million every single business day. Over the next 9 years, Maxwell transformed Fannie Mae into a high-performance culture that rivaled the best Wall Street firms, earning $4 million every business day and beating the general stock market 3.8 to 1. Maxwell retired while still at the top of his game, feeling that the company would be ill-served if he stayed on too long, and turned the company over to an equally capable successor, Jim Johnson. Shortly thereafter, Maxwell's retirement package, which had grown to be worth $20 million based on Fannie Mae's spectacular performance, became a point of controversy in Congress. Fannie Mae operates under a government charter. Maxwell responded by writing a letter to his successor, in which he expressed concern that the controversy would trigger an adverse reaction in Washington that could jeopardize the future of the company. He then instructed Johnson not to pay him the remaining balance, $5.5 million, and asked that the entire amount be contributed to the Fannie Mae Foundation for low-income housing. David Maxwell, like Darwin Smith and Coleman Mockler, exemplified a key trait of Level 5 leaders: ambition first and foremost for the company and concern for its success rather than for one's own riches and personal renown. Level 5 leaders want to see the company even more successful in the next generation, comfortable with the idea that most people won't even know that the roots of that success trace back to their efforts. As one Level 5 leader said, "I want to look out from my porch at one of the great companies in the world someday and be able to say, I used to work there." In contrast, the comparison leaders, concerned more with their own reputation for personal greatness, often fail to set the company up for success in the next generation. After all, what better testament to your own personal greatness than that the place falls apart after you leave? In over 3/4 of the comparison companies, we found executives who set their successors up for failure or chose weak successors or both. Some had the biggest dog syndrome. They didn't mind other dogs in the kennel as long as they remained the biggest one. One comparison CEO was said to have treated successor candidates the way Henry VIII treated wives. Consider the case of Rubbermaid, an unsustained comparison company that grew from obscurity to number one on Fortune's annual list of America's most admired companies, and then, just as quickly, disintegrated into such sorry shape that it had to be acquired by Newell to save itself. The architect of this remarkable story, a charismatic and brilliant leader named Stanley Galt, became synonymous in the late 1980s with the success of the company. In 312 articles collected on Rubbermaid, Galt comes through as a hard-driving, egocentric executive. In one article, he responds to the accusation of being a tyrant with the statement, "Yes, but I'm a sincere tyrant." In another, drawn directly from his own comments on leading change, the word "I" appears 44 times. "I could lead the charge. I wrote the 12 objectives. I presented and explained the objectives." Whereas the word "we" appears just 16 times. Galt had every reason to be proud of his executive success. Rubbermaid generated 40 consecutive quarters of earnings growth under his leadership, an impressive performance, and one that deserves respect. But, and this is the key point, Galt did not leave behind a company that would be great without him. His chosen successor lasted only 1 year on the job, and the next in line faced a management team so shallow that he had to temporarily shoulder 4 jobs while scrambling to identify a new number 2 executive. Galt's successors found themselves struggling not only with a management void, but also with strategic voids that would eventually bring the company to its knees. Of course, you might say, "Yes, Rubbermaid fell apart after Galt, but that just proves his personal greatness as a leader." Exactly. Galt was indeed a tremendous Level 4 leader, perhaps one of the best in the last 50 years. But he was not a Level 5 leader, and that is one key reason why Rubbermaid went from good to great for a brief shining moment, and then, just as quickly, went from great to irrelevant.